Hey, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this special episode of the podcast where I'm currently in the midst of a mini series called Behind the Business, where we are focusing on the people who run online businesses. And in this week's episode, I am delighted to share a chat with you that I had with Jop Kolik-Benig, who is the owner of Generation AMZ, which is a kind of an Amazon agency designed to help businesses increase their sales and kind of sell more stuff over on Amazon. And Jop is really interesting because he didn't always start out as an Amazon expert and has actually quit a corporate career to pursue a business in buying and selling goods, importing goods and selling them on Amazon, and became so good at it that he ended up diversifying and becoming an Amazon expert at the same time. And why I love this chat, and I think you will too, is because you get to hear the story behind how someone built an online business and then became an expert about the business that they were working in as well. And that happens to so many of us. And aside from like hearing about your story and the product businesses that he kind of grew using Amazon and his agency too, he also gives a ton of value in this episode about what it takes to sell products online and products using Amazon as well. So if you are a product business owner, you are going to really love this episode. And if you just want to hear a great story about someone who is very entrepreneurial, you're going to love it as well. So I will see you in a sec. And I'm saying welcome to Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. I'm Vicky, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Jop Kolik-Benig, who is the kind of founder of Generation AMZ, which he's been running for the past 3 years as a all-round Amazon expert, but is just a bit more than that. It's someone with a story who's kind of like grown into this agency business by working on his own small businesses. And I'm really excited that you're here. Thanks for joining us. I promise you, I'm going to get your name correct throughout the entirety of this episode. But do you want to just clarify for everyone listening who you are? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here, Vicky. My name is Jop Kolik-Benig. Jop is spelled with J-O-P-P-E. It's a Dutch name, but nobody can pronounce it. And I've been living in the UK for so long that
me included.
I just say Jop. So don't worry. it's quite easy, just like the yogurt drink, I used to say. Now I have my own brand, and it's called Jop and Tom. So it's Y-O-P and then A-N-D-T-O-M.com. And that's I kind of used the wrong version of my name.
Right. In that not confusing well, so. At all. Yeah, well, we'll talk about Jop and Tom in a moment. But I mean, you are multifaceted, multi-business owning.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did you start out all those years ago? What did you want to be when you were growing up?
So I grew up in the Netherlands. I was born and raised there. And I moved to the UK about 13 years ago now. I started working in London after my university. I studied for quite a long time. Did a variety of fields. Failed at some and succeeded at others. Eventually, graduated with a master's in business administration. And then I moved to London to work for a financial software firm. It's a large sort of firm selling software to investment banks, asset managers, an American company. I worked there for about 9 years. Managed a lot of their sales for EMEA.
Sounds very corporate.
It's very corporate, and it was totally not me. I don't really want to be in a corporate organization. I don't feel I can really thrive. I mean, I can make a career there, but I don't really enjoy it. So what I decided to do 5 years ago, in 2016, I decided to quit my job and do something completely different. So I started, a friend of mine and I got talking about Amazon and e-commerce, and we thought there could be a good business in that, because we heard that lots of sellers were joining on the platform and were able to sell their products and make a good business out of it. So what we did is we literally studied everything, you know, that we could find on the topic. You know, we did all the courses, we joined all the Facebook groups, you know, went to all the events, listened to all the podcasts, and there's loads and loads of niche sort of information out there on Amazon, which we kind of took on board. And you know, the first year that we started, you know, we were just kind of like searching for available niches on Amazon. So based on sort of data research, you know, looking at the keyword volumes, and then looking at sort of the quality of the listings that are on page one to see if we could improve what was on there.
Okay. So can I ask quickly, like in that first, sure. In that first year, did you have a business name? Like, did you come together, or were you just kind of like, this was a thing on the side, or it was a kind of hobby business?
It's quite funny actually, because so our business name, our limited company name, is Stockholm London. Because when we started the business, I was stuck in Sweden, with my wife, who was 7.5 months pregnant and decided to give birth unexpectedly whilst we were traveling. So we were stuck in Sweden for several weeks, with a premature baby.
Wow,
in a Swedish hospital. And my business partner was in London setting up the business, and we still didn't have a name. So he said, well, why don't we call it Stockholm London?
That is a classic business name exercise there. Literally look around the room or look around what's going on right now.
Exactly. Yeah. But home is spelled with H-O-M-E. Because we thought we would go into homeware, which eventually we didn't do. So yeah, it's kind of random.
So you had a pregnant wife, and you quit your job. How was that?
Yeah, that was a crazy year actually. So I quit my job, moved house from a tiny flat to a bigger house up north. I moved away from the city. You know, had a tiny premature baby. Started my own company. Self-published
all the
children's book. It was just nuts, to be honest. Like, I don't know how I did it. I was just firing on all cylinders.
Do you think that was kind of like the overhang of your corporate career potentially?
I think I just wanted to make a massive shift. Yeah, it was needed, because I was just so demotivated, you know, and I just couldn't have another corporate meeting where they just talk about, you know,
meetings,
goals and targets and meetings and, you know, like, yeah, I just couldn't handle it anymore. So, yeah, so I decided really to take the plunge. And, yeah, from there, I really sort of become quite entrepreneurial and really learn, you know, a lot about e-commerce in the process. When we first started out on Amazon, we started with very, random products.
What was the weirdest product?
Well, for example, we saw like rain ponchos, we sold sleeping mats, candles, just anything that we thought would sell, basically. Yeah.
So you had to source those products from somewhere and then sell them. Yeah. So like, how did you go about doing that? Because that kind of must be like a minefield of things to sort through and find the quality of and find great suppliers.
Totally,
right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely, we found some good suppliers. We also found some bad ones. You know, yeah, I mean, you kind of do what every new sort of new person that goes into this Amazon world, they go into, they go to Alibaba and they try and, you know, find a supplier there. And it's just a horrible platform. I don't know if you've ever been on it, but, you know. It's just,
I've purposely limited myself on Alibaba, so for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrendous. But it's, you know, you kind of, what we used to do is you would put a request for a quote. You can put an RFQ out on Alibaba. Mm-hmm. And then first you scope out the details of your product, what it's made of, and, you know, kind of what you need. And then you put a request for a quote out, which then gets you sort of like 10, 20, maybe 30 suppliers trying to contact you. You know, the vast majority is absolute rubbish. So you need to just sift through all the answers, look who's most responsive. The most valuable answers are usually the ones that ask questions back. You know, what would you like to do with this? And they kind of put your mind, you know, they if they ask things that you haven't even thought about yet, that's usually a good sign. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to try and sift out the factories from the trading companies, because the trading companies are usually work, you know, they're obviously paying a higher fee because they're just buying it for somebody else and then selling it to you. And also any customizations that you want doing are difficult to get done through a trading company. You can do it, but you know, it's all sort of like, you know, you talk to one party that then talks to another, and it just becomes quite difficult. So therefore we prefer to work with the manufacturer. Now these days I would prefer to find suppliers on trade shows or like you know, things like that, where you actually go out and sort of like, if somebody can afford a big stand at a big European trade show, they're not going to be some cowboy trade, you know, trader who just buys stuff from other factories and then sells it onto you, because that's what you want to avoid, really.
So what did you do with the stuff that you ordered? Like, is this something like that's known as drop shipping, right? Where they would just send it out as it got bought, or did you like house some of the products here in the UK?
No. So we never did drop shipping. We always, imported the product into the UK. And in the beginning, we just sent everything directly to Amazon. You know, Amazon was at the time didn't have any inventory restrictions. So we just shipped in, you know, whatever it was. Start with 1,000 units, then ship in 5,000, then ship in 10,000. And, you know, as long as the product is shifting, that's perfectly fine. So, you know, Amazon just stored everything for us, so you didn't really need any external storage. So all you did was, you know, from your laptop, you place an order, you know, with the supplier. They, you know, you work with a freight forwarder to forward the stuff once it lands directly into Amazon. And then, you know, it's in Amazon and Amazon starts fulfilling it for you. So we use their FBA program, the fulfillment by Amazon program.
Sounds too easy, right? So yeah. you can see why there was a bit of a gold rush a few years ago for this, because everyone thought they could probably do it, right?
Absolutely. And I think the world has changed a lot since then, you know, and it was, I think, easier back then, even though I didn't realize that because I was just starting out, and then I was, you know, it was still difficult because you're learning everything from scratch. But yeah, you know, it was easy because these days you have to have 3PLs. You know, you can't do without them because Amazon has a lot stricter inventory requirements because everyone wants to use the FBA program now, especially after COVID. You know, working without a third-party logistics provider is just not really possible anymore if you want to run a serious business. Right. So that's a big thing. You know, yeah, generally it was easy for the product. We had, you know, these rain ponchos that we sold, for example, they're very easy product. People are generally very happy with them as well because, you know, they typically use them when it rains, so it kept them dry during a rainstorm. So you know, nothing can really go wrong with it, so it was kind of like a perfect product to start out for us on that side. But you know, you can't really build a brand around it, like nobody gets excited about it, right?
So, on ponchos, yeah. So what, like in your first year, what was the biggest lesson that you learned, do you think?
So that we use a tool called Jungle Scout, which is like an Amazon specific research tool, where you could research the market and research gaps in the market, and then try and find out products that were, you know, that had high search volume, but that weren't that competitive. And we found some good products there, but we also found some bad products where, you know, by the time we shipped everything in and we sorted everything, there was sort of like 20 other sellers in the market, and the price just dropped ridiculously because everybody was using that tool. And so everybody at the same time found that product that was attractive and then started buying the product. So the price went from, you know, $40 or £40 to like, you know, £25. And, you know, you kind of have to, and it was super seasonal. So we bought at the wrong price. So, you know, we stuck sort of like 25 grand into a product that was completely, it was just a mess. It was unprofitable and locked up our cash for a long time. And we made all the, the errors that people who start in this business made in the beginning. But after a while, you know, it's been a great learning for us, because we are now at the point where we do understand much better what makes things sell well, how you can how important brand building is to keep selling well and to distinguish yourself from the competition, and to just generally obviously have a great product as well. But I think you don't want to compete with a commodity product, because all you're going to be doing is competing on price, and it's not going to be an attractive business anymore. That used to be possible on Amazon, and people made a lot of money doing it for quite a few years. But these days, it's just, it's too competitive for that.
So how many products have you sold through Amazon, since you started then? Like, how many have you sourced and kind of put through, whether they were great or whether great sellers or whether they kind of were duds, you buying your suntan lotion in the middle of a cyclone kind of thing?
I don't know exactly how many. I it's not a huge amount. I think it's probably about 20 different SKUs or something.
So what was kind of your biggest success over the past few years through Amazon?
Obviously, like, now I started my own brand. That's been really, really successful. And
so this is Yop and Tom, isn't it?
This is Yop and Tom, yeah.
But do you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so we're a premium notebook brand. We sell things like dot grid journals, which are used by people who do a lot of bullet journaling. We have the really extra thick paper. The notebooks are bound in a stitch way, so they lie open. They lie flat when they open. We use really nice, high quality vegan leather. Nice gold debossed emblems in them. We pay a lot of attention to little details. The color of the dots. We've been through 9 iterations of our bullet journal so far, and we've only been active for about 14 months in this business. So we pay a huge amount of attention to customer feedback, and we keep reiterating and making improvements, which is really, really important for us. But the response to that has been great. We also sell like line journals and goal planners. We have a bunch of plans for the new year as well to release some more exciting products then. That's what we do with Yop and Tom. I mean, the other products that were successful, funnily enough, these rain ponchos have been quite successful. But right now, that's a very competitive commodity space as well. So wouldn't recommend anybody to jump into that either anymore. We did candles that sold quite well, but if none of it was really sort of bound together. And if you're trying to run a website off Amazon and you're trying to, build an audience that you own, where you can gather emails and just have contact with your consumers when you want to, when there is something you want to announce, can send them all an email. You know, it's little things like that. You just can't do it on Amazon. And it just prevents you from really building a valuable business, I think, in the long run. So that's why we're much more focused on building that brand away from Amazon now as well.
So what was it about journals and kind of stationery in general that kind of inspired you? Like, you know, is it just, you know, a simple monitoring of what was going on in the market and what was being sold on Amazon? Or, you know, did you have a passion for doing this as well?
I think what we are both very passionate about, like, you know, just like the feeling of having a notebook in your hand and, you know, just kind of, the digital disconnect. I think that people are needing more and more these days. It's a real important trend. I think, like, you know, not to be constantly on your phone. I think it's bringing something positive. People use it a lot for things like their mental health, you know, tracking their moods, or you know, all sorts of stuff that people do with it. I think it's a really positive product for people, and I think that's really nice. You know, that we're passionate about that. We're not super like creative ourselves, but we love seeing the work that people do in our journals. You know, we get tagged in on Instagram all the time and the most like creative like artworks, and it's just really exciting to see, you know, an audience that just loves the product and
people love stationery, don't they? Like, when they love it, they love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and that's really nice. You know, I think we were just shifting products before, you know, and we didn't have any passion about it, and that's something that we just didn't want to do any longer. You know, I think right now we're in a much much better place in that regard, and much more focused as well.
And did you test the product on Amazon first then before you moved it onto its own website?
Yes, yeah, we did. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how we're obviously familiar with that. You know, we sell in a variety of marketplaces as well on Amazon. So we sell in the US and Canada, the UK. We used to sell in the EU, but we got out after Brexit. We may want to get in at some stage, back in again at some stage, but it's been a bit of a nightmare. You know, so you can test it there in a variety of marketplaces, and then if it goes well, you know, you can kind of start your own website. I mean, it's kind of easier for us to launch something on Amazon first to get the traction, to see if you can get the traction with people, and if you can do that, then build the website and the brand afterwards. And I think that's, you know, probably the reverse of what a lot of brands traditionally have tried to do. Traditionally, I think people build a website and try to sell their own product, maybe sell into retailers, and then Amazon was kind of like an afterthought. And we've gone the opposite way, which could be, you know, it's quite an interesting development. I think that I see more and more, and I see more and more people having success with that as well.
Okay, so with that in mind then, like, you know, when in my audience and with the people in my membership, like Supercharged Website Membership, a lot of people are people who've tried it on Amazon or Etsy, and they, like you, with Yop and Tom, realize, you know, you need to have your own audience. You need to be able to email them. You need to be away from those platforms because it violates the terms of service, like collecting emails from those customers and stuff. But with that in mind, like, you could, if your business was good enough, you might just get acquired, right, by kind of a bigger company. I mean, what do you think is like a good option for a small business owner to do? Do you think it's worth having their own website and having that own like little bit of land on the internet like I promote, or is it just worth hanging out and kind of seeing if you could get acquired?
I think, first of all, it's very product dependent. Not every product is necessarily right for Amazon, I think. So, and also it's very much a pay-to-play environment. So your margins need to be able to handle all the fees and the cost of the advertising and everything else that's associated with operating a business on Amazon. You know, I see people with cost of goods sold. It's about like half or one third of the price of their product. And, you know, that's just become very, very difficult to run a business on such tight margins, you know, kind of loss making from the start, really. Mm. So unless you can really reduce your cost of goods, you know, you're not really going to be able to to be that profitable. So unless you're venture backed or investor backed, you know, it's going to be difficult to make that a successful business. So yeah, it depends a little bit on the business. You know, my consultancy business mostly works with venture backed or investor backed companies.
Okay, so let's talk about that quickly then. So, sorry, Job, like that's Generation AMZ, right?
Yeah.
So, how long has that been going, and why move into that space when you were doing so well from a product point of view?
Yeah, well, so first of all, like doing so well, I mean, like I'm still growing my business, and you know, I'm not even turning over seven figures yet. So we will
love
be there
that.
Soon.
I think yeah.
it's well, you know, but it's so cash flow intensive, you know, and you need to reinvest everything back into the business all the time, you know, because I'm bootstrapped myself, so we don't have any investment. So we do get to take some, you know, credit out and, you know, have some business loans and things like that we're working with, but we don't, we haven't sold any equity. And as such, you know, you keep having to reinvest all your earnings into your business. So even if you're profitable, to really grow the business, you can't take a huge salary out of that business. So, and also it doesn't, you know, like once we buy products and it's, you know, we have third parties that we work with that manage a lot of the fulfillment processes. And obviously Amazon manages a lot of the fulfillment. So I don't actually need to spend 100% of my time on the business. So what I do is 50% of my time I spend on my consulting side, and then 50% of the time spent on my own business, and that's basically how I'm running it. So it's important.
Did it come about because people were asking you, how are you doing this, or could I just pick your brains? And
we got asked by a friend, you know, if they could help their business out with something, you know, and we kind of pitched a consulting service to their business, because we saw what they were doing on Amazon, and they could be much more effective. Went in there, had a chat with them. You know, it was quite friendly. You know, not sort of. You know, I think. I set up the domain name sort of like 2 days before, you know, and it's kind of like just to have something there and to have an email address associated with it. But we went in and we kind of like, well, you know, let us take over your Amazon account and we'll manage your brand for you on Amazon. So I did that with this business. It was like a premium sort of gifting and also alcoholic spirits business. And you know, that went really well. I grew their business on Amazon by something like 200% in the first year or something. You know, it was like just because they hadn't optimized things, and you know, it was actually quite straightforward for us to do that, and then help them with, you know, filing Amazon cases and, you know, just cross-selling opportunities that they could have. And, you know, there's lots of little tactical things that you can implement when you take over an Amazon account that's been managed by somebody who doesn't have the background that we have, you know.
You can just clearly see the gaps, and, you know, with your experience in kind of Amazon, right? So, you know, you'd be able to notice straight away if they weren't doing certain things right.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think there's certain obvious gaps that you can see even without sort of having access to the account, and then there's certain more sort of like you know, things like having the right back-end keywords and, you know, making sure everything is optimized from a sort of like advertising perspective, where you need to really sort of delve into the background and you need to have access to the sort of central account. So what I do is, you know, I have a select few clients. I don't take on, you know, loads of clients, because it's basically, it has to be a right fit, first of all. And what I do is I take over their Amazon account. So So I started running it and managing it, and you know, help with the logistics and advise on pricing and help with advertising. And you know, it can be quite a lot to manage. So it has to be kind of like the right partner. And I also need to see, you know, I'll always be honest with somebody if I can see clear progression there. You know, can I help you? You know, get to where you need to be. You know, what are your ambitions, and how can I help you get there? You know, sometimes people ask me, to grow their business by 1,000%. And their Amazon account looks quite optimized already. You know, like there's some things. Sometimes you just can't work enough magic to get that done. You know, so I want to set the expectations quite realistically from the beginning, and it just. And sometimes it depends. Well, sometimes I think a product's going to do really well, and then for some reason, it just doesn't work as well, you know. And I think it really needs to be a holistic approach between off Amazon branding and on Amazon optimization. I think if you get that piece right, you can really grow really, really successfully. Because with the off Amazon branding, you bring in more organic traffic to Amazon.
Sure.
Which brings your advertising costs on Amazon down, but it also brings your ranking up, which then gets you more organic sales. So it's like a self-perpetuating cycle, you know, if you...
top tip.
Yeah. So it's really like, you know, because the ranking on Amazon mostly is based around... It's a very complex algorithm, but mostly it's based around, your click-through rates and then your conversions. So if you get a lot of conversions, you know, you're likely to rank higher.
So basically, if you're already quite successful, you're going to get even more visible on Amazon. But you just need to have that initial kind of push in the beginning, definitely. Right? So if a potential client comes to you and it's a really bad product, and you kind of look at it and think there's no way anyone's going to buy that, like are you happy to take on a challenge, or are you able to kind of have those discussions? Say I don't think it's going to work out.
I would definitely. I mean, I would never tell somebody their product is really bad. I think that's horrible. They're all into something, don't they?
Well, like on Dragon's Den, right? You know, I'm catching up on like the last series at the moment, and there was a guy who went on with a product that was like meant to stop sun glare, and it was essentially like little black things at the side. I don't know if you saw it in that episode. It was like
I don't think I have seen.
It was just like basically like a sort of a black bit of cardboard with like a sort of slit in it that you would kind of look through, and they were like they just didn't understand it, you know. And like, he'd been working years on this. He's like been working in glasses technology and ocular technology for years, you know.
Sometimes you need to be ruthless and tell them, actually, this is not a good idea.
Yeah,
you've invested £200,000. I think it's time to just let it go now. Yeah. What I do tell some people, so like, you know, I like to give people advice as to how I do think they should, what they should be doing. Actually, they shouldn't be doing Amazon. What is it that they should be doing then, right? So, I recently had a discussion with somebody who... I recommended, you know, maybe, you know, local radio advertising or like niche magazine advertising may be better fit for you, just because the margins are very tight to work with, and I'm not sure your price is super high compared to the product that sell really well in this category. So, you know, it's that kind of thing where I just kind of like, you know, do a bit of an analysis up front before we even, you know, start working, and just to kind of let them see, you know, show them my reasoning for not engaging further, because I think if people deserve, you know, a bit of a reasoning, and also it's for them to just, you know, have a look at their business and see, okay, is Amazon actually the right platform for me? Because it's not for every business, you know, and it doesn't mean you can't make a good business, but it just depends on the product, I think.
So you're kind of doing the Up and Tom business. You've got your own agency doing consultancy services now. You're still selling products through Amazon as well. Like, what's your kind of favorite business? If you had to choose one, which one do you love the most and why?
Ooh.
I won't tell the others. I won't tell the others.
You won't tell the others, except for all your business. I think it's really good to do both, because you actually get a lot more experience from seeing other people's business as well, seeing what other people do. And I still learn every day from that, you know. So I think it keeps you sharp, you know, and I really like, you know, helping people, you know, with the results that I can help them get, you know. And then if it does, if it does go well, you know, it can be really great and it can be really life-changing for somebody, you know, because sometimes the business didn't work off Amazon and all of a sudden starts working when they go on Amazon, you know, and that can be a really good feeling. So yeah, I do love that. You know, it's very busy, you know, I'm basically working, you know, all the time. But I like it like that as well, so you know, it's okay.
It sounds like there's a lot of variety of what you're doing, because if you're not learning and being in the platform selling your products, you're understanding the e-commerce market. And you're on Shopify, are you, with Yop and Tom?
So you're
understanding everything to do with that and that side of the world, and probably other things to do with marketing outside of that, and then you get to bring all of that info to your clients. I think it's like a nice triangle of kind of things that you do that all like really complement each other as well.
Definitely. And I work with some quite sophisticated businesses, so I, like you said, like, you know, the Shopify side is one thing, but I join calls with you know, the performance marketing teams and the, you know, the Facebook guys and the Google guys, and we're all calls together and talk about stuff, and it's, you know, it's really just really exciting and great thing to learn more about that side of the business, you know, because that's not where my original background is, but I'm learning more about you know, how you know, that side of the business works. And I think, you know, I think it's just really good to have that sort of holistic overview, and clients do appreciate it as well if you do understand, you know, the D2C side of their business, you know, their own website business as well. And some clients prefer it if we use Amazon as a way to bring more traffic to their own website. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly fine. You know, that's a perfectly legitimate reason to use Amazon. So if that's how they prefer to work, then I'm, you know, completely open to that. And, you know, and that sometimes can work really, really well.
We can't like let you go without squeezing some hints and tips for anyone like listening to this in terms of Amazon. Like, there's a lot of product businesses who are in my audience, and they're probably listening to this thinking, should I like create an Amazon seller account and sell my product in there? I mean, it's 2021 as we're recording this, we're getting towards the end right now. Life's definitely changed over the past couple of years in terms of behavior of consumers online. Is it worth setting up an Amazon store, do you think, right now?
It's a very generic question. Like, yeah, I've been asked it already, but you know, if you're in the right category, yes, absolutely. You know, the volume.
How do you know though? What's a good place to start? Like, should you go and do research and just go actually into the platform and look and see what's selling and what's hot and what's not?
I think that's a good way to do it. I would say, you know, to really excel on selling volume on Amazon, you want to be ranked, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in the category. And if that is the case, you know, and then when I say category, it's the high volume keywords that you want to be. So you need to see like, well, who are your competitors in that space, and why would my product stand out against those competitors? Even with all the data and stuff, that's a very qualitative question.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously run lots of analytics. You know, there's lots of keyword research tools that I would use and see, like, discover like where the volume sits. You know, there's a dozen keyword tools that you can use. I use Helium 10. It's a very good Amazon tool with lots of different data tools inside the tool, basically. But, you know, I think it's really about that question. You know, ultimately, why does your product stand out versus the 1, 2, or 3 other products in that space? Mm-hmm. You know, what problem does it fix? How is it different? It can be branded, you know, like sometimes some of our products have done really well because we put a nice box around it and everybody else sold it in carton and plastic, you know, and we put down a really nice photo of the box on Amazon, and we, you know, we started like we ranked that product. That was a box of candles, you know. And it's just like everybody sold their candles in a cardboard box, and it's just an ugly cardboard with plastic around it, and put the ugly photo on as a main photo. You know, it was like sometimes it's as simple as that. Okay. It's not always like that. So,
you know, okay. Long. No, I like that. And I think, like, the kind of undertones of that is just to probably be like self-aware of what, you know, the product that you have and how it's going to land with the market, and, you know, maybe giving yourself a bit of time to go out and test it if you're just starting out and there's like people who are really doing well in that space.
And really know your audience as well. I think like you really want to sort of like, you know, really understand who would be buying your product, you know, and adjust your messaging and everything that you do to make the product better, you know, adjust that on the back of your audience's wishes. And, you know, if you pay attention to who the ultimate people are that are the buyers of your product behind it, and really learn a lot on the psychology and the way they think and what they would like to see, then you can really stand out, you know.
I love it, like totally inspiring. I love the ambition. Well, look, like it's been a delight to chat to you today and find out about your kind of growth in your businesses. And whilst we've been there as well, we've managed to just squeeze a little bit of Amazon advice from you as well for anyone listening. Where would you like to invite people to find you online?
You can obviously go to my website, which is www.generationamz.com, or reach me at joppe@generationamz.com. I think that's probably the best place.
Perfect. All right. Thanks again for the chat today. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Hey there, end of the show crew. I hope you enjoyed that episode talking with Jop. I really love nerding out talking about e-commerce and kind of online commerce in general. And I feel like there was some real gold in the tips that he was offering there in terms of how to get started on Amazon. So if you really loved this episode, make sure you subscribe, because we've got quite a few more awesome guests coming up in this mini series of online marketing basics for busy website owners. And you won't want to miss out. And if you really super duper enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. Go over to iTunes and leave me a review. It makes me very happy, but also it helps people find these episodes. And we are, you know, very proudly a humble little podcast here in our corner of the internet. The people that love this podcast and listen to this podcast are very loyal. But if you can help get the word out about the people we're talking to, the info that we've got, we can help more people with their websites, with their online businesses. So thank you again for listening. I've just got one more thing to tell you guys at the end of the show. If you are listening to this, and the release date of this particular episode is the 12th of November, then I've got a little treat for you. Next Wednesday evening, I'm doing an evening with the Supercharger Website Challenge. So I'm trying to fit my very famous 5-day challenge, which has helped over 7,000 business owners with websites just like you. I'm going to fit it into one evening, a one-off evening, and it would be amazing if you join me. I'll make sure the link for it is in the blog post and the show notes. But if you want to come and chat websites with me before the end of the year, that is how you come and do it. But in the meantime, thanks again. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time.